Over the years, all of us in this room have believed a lot of things. Now, if we go back to our youth, we believed, some of us, maybe not all, but some of us believed in Santa Claus. We believed in the Easter Bunny. We believed in the Tooth Fairy. And if you're like me, you might also have believed that if you could get a Superman outfit like a Halloween costume, that you'd be able to fly a little bit. You know, not a long ways, just, you know, maybe a few feet or, you know, whatever. Now, the thing about all that is the fact that we had scientific, irrefutable proof and evidence that these things were true. Because on Christmas, there would be presents under the tree. On Easter, we would get up. There'd be the basket full of candy, chocolate bunnies and all. We'd reach under our pillow, and there would be money where the tooth had been. And then as far as the flying thing is concerned, well, we had friends who knew somebody who put on a Superman suit, and they flew. Maybe just 10 or 15 feet, but they flew. And not only did we have that proof, but all of our friends had the same evidence. They had the presents under the tree. They had the baskets on Easter Sunday morning. They had the money under the pillow, and they also knew someone who knew someone who put on the Superman cape and flew. We knew all of that. We had the evidence for it. And we believed it, did we not? Come on, don't sit there and act like, no, not me, they never fooled me. Yeah, you did too. You believed that and you couldn't wait for it. You would go to the stores and sit on Santa's lap and tell him what you wanted. And I don't know about you, but that bum never brought me what I asked for. It's like, why go and tell him what you want, you know? You don't get it. I guess he's too old. He just can't hear right. Yeah, just look at this. He brought me a picture of brains. I told him I wanted some trains, and he brought me a picture of brains. Guy can't hear. Well, anyway, we had the proof. We had the evidence that these things were real, and we believed it. And there was no way you could convince us otherwise. And if some stupid adult had walked into our classroom and stood up there and said, now kids, you're in first grade, it's time to learn some things. Number one, there's no Santa Claus. Well, there'd have been a riot. We'd have said, uh-uh, I got presents. Did you get presents? We'd all been in agreement. We all believed it. And then, if the teacher tried to tell us there was no Easter Bunny or no Tooth Fairy, and all, some of the kids, they just started crying.
There is too. My mommy told me there is too.
Because we knew. And we had the evidence. We could prove it. Well, you know, the same is true in the body of Christ. There are things that we believe. And I just want to throw some of these. Now, we're headed someplace in all this, all right? I don't know how many of you remember this, but back in the late 80s, there was a story that, I mean, it swept through the body of Christ like nobody's business. Now, some of you're not going to remember it. You weren't around back then. But for those of you who were, see if you remember this. Geologists were working in Siberia drilling a new oil well. And they drilled down about 9 miles deep when suddenly the drill bit began spinning wildly as though it had broken through something. And so they pulled the drill bit back out of the hole and they lowered some sort of a thermometer down there, and they measured the temperature at over 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, then they pulled the thermometer out and they began lowering a special microphone down, down, down. And the further they lowered it, they began to hear something. And as they listened, they realized they were hearing the screams and the yells of incredible torment from an untold number of people. And suddenly they realized they had drilled all the way to hell. Well, now what I'm getting ready to read here, this, you can find these things on the internet, okay? It's out there. Though it's impossible to pinpoint when the news story about a well in Russia transformed into a story about scientists breaking into hell, or who was responsible for that transformation, we do know that in 1989, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, your favorite, aired a special titled "Scientists Discover Hell" and placed the event as happening in the Kola Peninsula. A Norwegian school teacher visiting California heard that broadcast and took the story back to Norway with him. He then mailed it to a Christian magazine in Finland. In the form of a letter from a reader, it reached a Finnish missionary's newsletter. From there, it returned to the United States, reaching both the TBN people and other evangelists who claim they had gotten it from a respected Finnish scientific journal. I remember this. I don't know how many of you do, but I remember this story. Pastors were, in fact, I'm probably guilty, maybe about 89, 90, maybe 91. I might have made reference to this in a sermon somewhere. I don't know. But get this. He continues. In the spring of 1990, the legend, as we now know it, appeared in both Praise the Lord and Midnight Cry publications, Christian publications. But debunkings of it showed up in Christianity Today and Biblical Archaeology Review. Even so, the Weekly World News ran the story in 1992, this time setting it in Alaska and claiming that after they had dug down and, you know, bored their way into hell, 13 oil rig workers were killed when the devil came roaring up out of the ground. I remember this. And this story spread and spread, and people were absolutely, positively convinced it was true. And so pastors were standing up, hell has been proven. Now, I'm not disputing hell, we know that, but the story spread like crazy. But guess what? It never happened. And like I shared with you before, Satan is not living in hell. So even if you did drill a hole all the way to hell and pull the drill bit out, Satan's not going to come shooting up out of the hole mad because you disturbed his sleep and kill a bunch of people. It didn't happen. Now see, right now we sit in this room. I hope nobody listening to this is thinking, what? You mean that it wasn't true? No. But my pastor just last week said, well, it's not true. But the way I'm telling it, it elicits laughter and so forth. However, back then when this story broke, people believed it. They believed it. Oh my goodness, did they believe it? Well, let's continue. Paseka Motsoining, this, I think that's how it's pronounced, is the leader of the Church of Incredible Happenings. I'm not making this up. Okay? I am not making this up. He's the leader of the Church of Incredible Happenings in Johannesburg, South Africa, and is popularly known as Prophet Imboro. He claims that during the Easter Sunday service, he was taken to heaven. That is, this past Easter. According to reports, Imboro was about to begin a sermon at his church in his hometown when a beam of light from the sky appeared and whisked him into paradise, while some feared he was taken by aliens. Mr. Nkuna, now some of you, how many of you in here read this? Anybody? Nobody? Really? Because this just came out last week. Mr. Nkuna, a spokesperson of the church, conducted an interview with a local newspaper, the Katalhong Weekly, it's an Afrikaner language, and confirmed that the pastor was indeed captured to heaven, and he is now back. During the interview, Mr. Nkuna stated, "The prophet did go to heaven during the service, and he came back later that day. While there, he took pictures using his Samsung Galaxy S5 so he can show them to the people on earth if they do not believe he was captured to heaven. The pictures will be made available to the public on his Facebook page later next week." That's this coming week here. "And can now only be accessed through the equivalent of a $340 pledge. Those who need the pictures can contact the church and make the pledge using Money Market. Then we will send them the pictures on WhatsApp." I'm trying to envision this. Abraham! Hold on, buddy. Right there. Yep. Okay, thanks. Go on. Where's Paul? Paul. Yeah, there's Paul. Paul! Click. Oh, gotcha. Oh, Mary. Come here. Yeah, whoa. Wait a second. Wait. Where's your halo? What happened to your halo? I mean, all right, I tell you what. You go find your halo and make sure you got it set right. And then what I'll do is I'll meet you and Jesus in the throne room. And then I'll take a picture of the two of you sitting on your thrones. Okay, yeah, I'm embellishing here. But this actually happened. No, I'm not saying he went to heaven and took a picture. Okay. The story, it just came out last week. It just came out. Now, I'm curious. No, I did not order the pictures. Good heavens. But I am curious to find out what kind of pictures he's going to put out there. Now, there's a whole lot more about this particular pastor and that I'm just dismissing, you know, questions and just anyway, investigations and all that. But you and I both know there are people out there who are Christians who are probably going to make the pledge to see the pictures. So, you know, hey, look, I've got a bunch of pictures I've taken over the years. You send me a $340 offering, I'll send you a bunch of them. I don't care. Now, along with that, some of you may remember this. It may still be going on. I don't know. But Christians in cities would hire a hot air balloon or a small airplane so that the person that owns the balloon or the airplane would, you know, fly them around above the city so that while they're up there, they would be able to do spiritual warfare against the principalities controlling the cities and cast those ruling demons down. Well, I kind of feel sorry for Jesus and the rest of them because they didn't have hot air balloons or airplanes. You know, I don't know what they did back then. And, you know, people would do that. And get in those airplanes, we bind you, and on it goes. Well, you're not going to do something like that if you don't believe in it. If you don't think that's what you have to do to tear down a principality and what all, I mean, you're not going to do that. You're not going to spend that kind of money. Well, along with that, here in this church, several years ago, there was a visiting pastor. He had ministered several times, and he had really done a good job and preached some good sermons. But then one day, one night, he began telling people that if you have rebellious children, write down their dates of birth and give it to me, and my prayer team will intercede and break the powers of the stars influencing your children. And not only that, at the end of the service, in a prayer line for healing, there was a young man that came up, had been diagnosed with a terminal illness, and this particular pastor began praying for him and waving his hand over him and saying, I mix your blood with the blood of Jesus. I mix your blood with the blood of Jesus. Now, there are a lot of words I could use to describe these things, but not here in church. And no, I won't use them outside. I'd said that for emphasis. Sometime, I wanted to talk to him about this, but the opportunity did not. I didn't want to do it in public, in front of people. The opportunity did not arise before he went back home to his home country. Well, months passed, and I was contacted by his representative here in the States. Said, well, he's going to be back in the country and back in town, and he'd like to set up a time to come and minister at your church. And I said, well, you know, I'd just like to talk to him first. He said, boy, is something wrong? I said, well, you know, I when he gets here, I'll talk to him. It's okay. Well, this pastor didn't want to wait until he got here so I could talk to him face to face. He called me from his home country. Wanted to know, is everything okay? So that's when I began to say this thing about the powers of the stars and mixing of the blood and all that. I said, it's not right. It's wrong. I mean, there's no scripture for it. Well, he did not receive my counsel. And politely, he shared with me that if I understood about spiritual warfare, that I would understand what he did. And I told him, I do understand about spiritual warfare. I pattern what I do after what I see Jesus and the apostles doing in Scripture. So I do know about spiritual warfare, but I don't profess myself to be an expert. And after that, I wrote a lengthy letter using quite a bit of Scripture to explain my position, explain from Scripture why he was wrong. I sent a copy of the letter to him, to his representative here in the States, and to the pastor who had originally recommended him to me. The recommending pastor got in touch with me and said, I have never heard of anything. He never did any of this kind of stuff in my church. The pastor wasn't refuting me or questioning me. He was shocked. This pastor I've known for, well, ever since Kathy and I got married. And anyway, as time went on, more things came out, and that pastor, that recommending pastor, has since severed all ties with that minister who was here. However, after that minister preached about dates of birth, binding the powers of the stars, breaking the powers of the stars, mixing your blood with the blood of Jesus, and so on, there were people in this church in attendance who believed it and either had given or were going to give that pastor the dates of birth of their children. So I spent a Wednesday night service working through Scripture and explaining why that is not true, and there is no truth to it at all from the Word of God. Well, nobody from that point on that I know of gave their dates of birth, the dates of birth of their children. Now, there are a lot of people who believe what he taught, because if they didn't, he wouldn't be teaching it. I mean, if everybody and their brother rejected what he was saying, there would be nobody supporting. You understand what I'm saying? So there are people that believe it. And today, if I were to go into some churches and preach it in a way, preach what he shared in a way that came across as being true, there are Christians out there who would be sending me the dates of their birth dates of their rebellious children so that I and my prayer team could break the powers of the stars influencing or controlling their children. But that's a bunch of hokum. It's witchcraft blended with astrology, blended with false doctrine, and lies of the devil, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. However, there is spiritual warfare. It does exist. Now, look in Matthew chapter 8. There's a reason I shared all these things up to this point leading into what I want to share with you today. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, and when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. So here we see Jesus engaging in what we would call spiritual warfare. He cast these devils out. Now look in Acts chapter 16. And there are a lot of passages in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that we could use in reference to spiritual warfare. You know, Jesus sent out the 12 and sent out the 70 and they cast out demons and so forth, let alone all the times that Jesus cast out devils. But in Acts chapter 16, verse 16, it came to pass as we, Paul and Silas and those that were with them, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, fortune-telling, and so forth. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. So once again, we see another example of legitimate, genuine spiritual warfare. Now look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles, it was a military term. It talks about the plans and attacks and so forth of an enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So here we see a specific reference to spiritual warfare and the actual preparation for spiritual warfare. We see it there. Now, look over in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. And this is speaking, what we're getting ready to read here. We're kind of jumping in the middle of the passage, but it's speaking of what Jesus did. In verse 15, it says that he, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Well, we just read over there in Ephesians about a spiritual hierarchy, powers, principalities, and the spiritual wickedness and so forth. And so here we see a reference to Jesus bringing down or defeating what you would call the demonic hierarchy. Now look over in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And let's see what Jesus has said. Beginning in verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. In my name shall they cast out devils. So once again, this is a reference to spiritual warfare. Now there are a lot of other passages that we could use talking about encounters with demons, whether it would be Jesus or what have you. But using these passages, Matthew 8, Acts 16, Ephesians 6, Colossians 2, and Mark 16, what we're doing is establishing the fact that spiritual warfare is real, is very real. With this in mind, something has come out this past week that has the potential to really impact a whole lot of believers. In fact, I firmly, as I stand here, I cannot give you any quotes or anything, but I firmly believe that there are Christians all over who are believing this based on the pattern of how the body of Christ believes that. Remember, you know, drill the hole to hell and all that. The way that so many Christians just grab a hold of some of these things, there is, I have no doubt, Christians that will believe it. There are Christians who will believe this. So what I've done is I have copied this article. And I'm going to read it to you. It came out, it was released by Charisma News. Some of you may get the emails from Charisma News. They send them, I don't know, once a week or whatever it is. Some of you may indeed have read what I'm getting ready to read. It was released on March 31st of 2016. That date, I mean, pretty recent. So, here's the title. A gateway could be opened when the Temple of Baal is erected in Times Square. In April, part of the Temple of Baal that stood in Palmyra, Syria, will be reconstructed in Times Square in New York City and in Trafalgar Square in London. The specific portion that is being erected in both cases is the 48-foot-tall arch that stood at the entrance of the temple. The Institute of Digital Archaeology is the organization behind this effort, and the display of these two arches is intended to be the highlight of UNESCO's World Heritage Week late next month. UNESCO, United Nations Education, Science, something. Anyway, after seeing... Now, the man that wrote this is Michael Snyder. He wrote a previous story about Babylon and all this other. So he's making reference to it, but I don't have it with me today because it's kind of irrelevant concerning this. Well, it's not irrelevant, but anyway. After seeing my initial story, one of my readers observed that an arch is really just a gateway or a portal. In other words, it can serve as both an entrance and an exit. So could it be possible that we will be unknowingly setting up a gate or some kind of portal in Times Square? The worship of Baal, also known as Bel, B-E-L, can be traced all the way back to ancient Babylon. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, Marduk was the chief god of the city of Babylon, and ultimately he became known as Bel, or Lord. Then he's copied and pasted something from the Encyclopedia Britannica, the historical stuff. You know, not going to read that. And it is interesting to note that according to Wikipedia, the name of the city of Babylon is believed to have originally come from an Akkadian word or Akkadian word that meant gate of God or gateway of the God. Then he copies from Wikipedia, historical information, not going to read all that. So now we are setting up a gateway or portal for the chief god of ancient Babylon in the heart of our most important city next month. Does anyone else out there find this more than just a little creepy? It just seems so surreal that an arch from the Temple of Baal that is nearly five stories high is going to be erected in Times Square in April, but this is actually happening. The following comes from the New York Times. And here's from the New York Times. Next month, the Temple of Baal will come to Times Square. Reproductions of the 50-foot arch that formed the temple's entrance are to be installed in New York and in London, a tribute to the 2,000-year-old structure that the Islamic State destroyed last year in the Syrian town of Palmyra. The group's rampage through Palmyra, a city that reached its peak in the 2nd and 3rd century AD, enraged the world, spurring scholars and conservationists into action. Now back to the article written by Michael Snyder. This sounds like the plot for some really twisted episode of Stargate and not something that is supposed to happen in the real world. And as I reported recently, the Institute of Digital Archaeology hopes to put hundreds more of these arches in major cities all over the planet. What in the world are they thinking? If we want to take all of this to another level of creepiness, let's recall what I talked about the other day. Baal evolved from the chief god of the city of ancient Babylon known as Marduk, and Marduk can be traced back to an actual historical person. This historical person was known in Sumerian literature as King Enmerkar, and in the Bible he was known as Nimrod. There is a portion of a quote from Peter Goodgame that I included in an article the other day, and more historical stuff, not going to read that. The cult of Marduk, back to the article, the cult of Marduk was the root of all the ancient pagan religions of the Middle East, Egypt, Greece, and Rome. In those other religions, the deity of Marduk came to be known by other names such as Baal, Osiris, Apollo, and so on. And today, there are many secret societies and occult groups that look forward to the day when this pagan deity will be resurrected and will return to rule the world once again. This is something that I explained in our latest YouTube video. I know that all of this may sound very strange to you, but many of these secret societies and occult groups take this stuff seriously. And many Christian scholars are convinced that there is a link between the coming of the Antichrist and this ancient pagan deity based on the actual historical figure of Nimrod. So, could it be possible that we are laying out a couple of giant welcome mats for this ancient pagan deity by erecting these giant arches in New York and London next month? Could we be opening up gateways and portals that are extremely dangerous and that we simply do not understand? I don't know about you, but for me, the construction of these giant arches is a very, very bad sign. Now, when I first read this, it reminded me, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but when Saddam Hussein made his move, he made the, you know, remember him? Saddam Hussein, all right. He made the declaration that one of the things he was going to do was rebuild the city of Babylon to all its glory and rebuild the Tower of Babel. Now, Christians all over the world, when they heard this, began to freak out because Some, I guess, were teaching that, well, that means he's the Antichrist, and he's going to rise up, and he's going to rule, and if he rebuilds Babylon to its glory, and rebuilds the temple of the Tower of Babel, that now all these demons are going to be released, and so on and so forth. Well, guess what? You know, Saddam is dead. He didn't take over like they thought. Now, in this article, what I read to you, the writer states, so now we are setting up a gateway or a portal for the chief god of Babylon in the heart of our most important city next month. This indicates, him making that statement indicates he believes the arch will literally be a portal for Baal. Now here's the imagery. Now see, if he doesn't believe it, he shouldn't have written the article the way he did. He believes it. And not only that, but I honestly have to question the integrity of the Charisma organization for printing stories like this. And this is just scratching ever since, well, Charisma has, in my opinion, begun devolving into a Christian version of the National Enquirer. Some of the stuff is good, but some of it is nothing but a bunch of fluffy jive to keep it clean. It has no business being put out there for Christians. So I don't know who's in charge. And if you Charisma people are listening, man, you guys, you're off base. The problem is, some of those folks, they're so blinded by all of this that, look, sensationalism sells. Bottom line, sensationalism sells. Now, concerning this article, here's what we're being told. That a replica of an arch that was torn down, an arch that was dedicated, or that was part of the temple of Baal, that the arch is going to be rebuilt in New York City. And it's also going to be rebuilt in London. And according to this article, this arch then becomes a gateway or a portal through which the demon entity referred to as Baal is going to come through. All right? Now that's what we're being told. And as I read this, some things begin to pop up in my mind. Some very, what I've called, serious observations and questions. Now see, for all of you here, you may be thinking, are you honestly wasting a sermon on this? But what you don't understand is it's just going to be a matter of time when a bunch of Christians start posting this stuff on Facebook as though it's true. Some might even go so far as to say, I was in prayer and God gave me a revelation that when this is built, all these demons are going to come flying through and so forth. Well, as I said, this led me to some very serious observations and questions, and I'm just going to share them with you. Number one, in that article I read to you, which it is all available online at Charisma News. You can read it, download it, print it, whatever you want to do. In that article, there is no scripture used in the article supporting the concept of portals used by demons to pass from where they are into our world. In the entire article, not one time does he make reference to anything recorded in the Word of God that speaks of a portal or a gateway through which demons pass to enter into our realm. Number two, where are the demons presently existing whereby they need a man-made portal making it possible to pass from there to here? Where are they right now? Where do they? Well, it's in the realm of the spirit. Yeah, I know. But okay, but where are they in the realm of the spirit? Where are they to where they're waiting for somebody to come along and rebuild the arch from the Temple of Baal so that they can say, whoo-wee, all right, now we can go. Number three, what is currently hindering them from passing from there to here that can only be removed when people build a portal? What's hindering them now? What is it? What's holding them back? I don't know. That is not explained. That is not in the article. Number four, where in Scripture is there any reference to humans building a portal which enabled demons to pass from where they were into where we are? Where is that in Scripture? Well, now, Brother Martin, in the book of Revelation, I know there's some crazy stuff in the book of Revelation. But my question is, where in Scripture do we see any reference to humans building a gateway out of any material which enabled demons to pass from where they were into where we are? Number five, the Old Testament repeatedly states that Israel built altars to Baal and other false gods, even participating in the ceremonies dedicated to those false gods. However, God never once declared they had opened a portal for Baal or other demons to pass from there to here. Nowhere. All he did was say, you know, you guys are in big trouble for doing this. Some bad stuff's going to happen to you. God never once told them, uh-oh, you build an arch, here they come. He never said that. Not one time anywhere when Israel was building those altars. Number six, look back in Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, we're not going to read all of this again, but in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, and the reason I'm having you turn there, in case you need to look down at it again to refresh your memory, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18 seems to indicate the demons are already here. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it tells you right there, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I mean, it seems to me like they're already... It doesn't say they're waiting for a portal. They're waiting for a gateway. Why tell me to take on the armor of God if there's nobody here to fight? So it seems to me like they're already here and they didn't need my help to get here or yours or anybody in New York or London. Number seven. Now, this next one, I like this one. Number seven. Satan would be the highest ranking of all demons, surpassing that of Baal. Would he not? Would not Satan be the highest ranking of all demons? Okay. Regarding the events recorded in Genesis chapters 1 through 3, what kind of portal did Adam build which allowed Satan to pass from where he was into the Garden of Eden and manifest himself as a serpent? Hey, listen, why worry about Baal when you've got Satan knocking on the door? So what did Adam build that Satan passed through and could be here to tempt Adam and Eve, to lie to them and tempt? What did he do? Well, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Satan didn't need a portal. Satan didn't need an archway. You know what? And people can debate, well, then why was he there? You know what? Regardless of the reason why, the bottom line is Adam didn't build anything. And he was the only one on earth who could have built anything. I'll guarantee you this, God is not going to build an archway for the devil to pass through and mess people up. So what did Adam build? Nothing. And yet Satan himself, manifested as a serpent, was here. Number 8. And this part, this number 8, I don't know why this guy wouldn't have included this in his article. If indeed rebuilding the arches of the temple of Baal would create a portal or gateway through which Baal and any of his demon hordes could pass from where they are into where we are, then according to Matthew 8:14 through 16, Acts 16:16 through 18, Ephesians 6:10 through 17, Colossians 2:15, and Mark 16:16 through 17, it would seem as though Christians could stand in front of the arches and rebuke Baal and his demons back to wherever. So, why not put that in the article? If you're so worried and so fearful, oh no, we're going to build an arch, and Baal and all the demons are going to be able to come through. Okay, well, if you really believe that, then fine. Let's get a bunch of people to stand there in front of the arch, and as soon as the last brick is laid, start saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Why not? Why not put that in the article? Why not? That article essentially means and portrays that the body of Christ has no say-so whatsoever when it comes to what demons do. That's what the article implies. I don't know anything about this guy, this Michael Snyder. I have no idea who he is, never met him. All I know is for some reason and somehow Charisma News seems to believe that he should have a voice to the body of Christ throughout the world. I mean no disrespect to the guy. Listen, he wrote the article because he's trying to help. You got to be a fool to write an article like that and sit back and laugh. He wrote the article because he believes this. He's trying to warn us of what is coming. Well, you know what? How about this? Why don't we send a warning to Baal and all his buddies and just tell him, hey, we're going to be standing there at the portal, so when that last brick is laid, we're going to lay the name of Jesus on you like never before. We are going to be declaring the Word of God. We're going to follow the pattern of Jesus and the apostles, and we're going to deal with you. You're not coming through. You're not going to do it. Why not put that in the article? Why not? Well, I didn't do it. However, there's another side to this. A side that, we've gotten some chuckles out of everything I've shared here relative to this article. But number 9, whoever you worship will become more active in your life. And if it's devils, they don't need a portal. They don't need a gateway. All they need is you acknowledging them and, how we would say it, giving them glory. Whoever you worship, whoever you acknowledge, is going to be more active in your life. This is one of the reasons why we need to worship the Lord, because the more we worship Him, is the more active He becomes in our own lives. But, you want to build an archway and put it up there. Now, here's what I think might happen. I'm not prophesying. I'm not, saying, thus saith the Lord. I'm just telling you what I think might happen. They build that arch in New York and in London, and a bunch of people are going to show up and start holding pagan ceremonies to Baal. And some Christians may... Now, if that happens, and I don't know if it will, but if that were to happen, don't be surprised if when they finish that you're going to have... you'll see pictures and images of people showing up dressed like the priests of Baal. Don't be surprised if you see that. Well, then some Christians may see the images and hear the stories about all that happening and become terrified. Oh no, they're going to release Baal through the arches and so forth. Listen, he doesn't need to be released through the arches. He doesn't need to be released through the gateway. However, if you start holding ceremonies unto pagan gods, you're inviting those demons. You're giving place to the devil. You're giving place to the devil. And so therefore, yeah, you know, there is legitimacy to demons being involved, but the whole thing of an arch and a gateway, and to portray it as though that we have no way of protecting ourselves, seriously? The problem, and the reason, again guys, the reason that I'm addressing this today is because I won't be surprised if some of you here, or some of you listening to this, watching it, don't hear another Christian talking about they're going to build a gateway for demons. I won't be one bit surprised. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope none of your Christian friends buy into this and start talking about it. But if they do... Here, it may not happen to you, but I promise you, it's going to happen to some Christians somewhere in the world, somewhere in this country. People are going to be talking about this. And the thing is, a lot of Christians will be exalting it. And you know, God is not the author of fear. However, you start grabbing a hold of the kind of things that I've shared today, and you start believing it, that instills fear. And I'm telling you right now, fear will open a door for activity in your life, demonic activity. Because God's not the author of fear, but of love, joy, and a sound mind, and perfect love cast out all fear. Well, if fear's not supposed to be there, I mean, if perfect love's going to cast it out, that means it's not supposed to be there. And the more that you fear something, listen, correct me if I'm wrong, which I know I'm not, so there won't be any correction. But when you fear something, do you not talk about it? Do you not tell other people about it? Absolutely. So the more that you talk about your fears, the one who's willing to help those fears come to pass, it can happen. You know, we've talked about your confession and what you speak and so forth, but guys, what I'm trying to do is, this to me has the same potential as the drill the hole to hell story. Only with this, it's more serious. Because you get people to believing in this. See, that's the thing. You don't get saved until you believe in Jesus Christ, right? You get a whole bunch of people believing that Satan is going to do something. Believing now. Believing it and speaking it. It's almost like you're paving the road for him to do it. Now let me ask you a question. Hypothetically, if Jesus were here on the earth and he knew that an arch was being built through which all kinds of devil, demon spirits and Baal and everybody else was going to come through, do you think, I mean, if he knew for a fact that was going to happen, do you think it's possible that if we could get him to the arch, he could say, "I rebuke you," and they wouldn't come out? Now, I know that's a kind of a weird scenario. I admit it. But you and I both know if he's casting devils out all over the place, well, sure, he don't. Then why didn't he say, "The works I do, you can do also"? So, theoretically, it only takes one Christian to stand in front of that arch and just say, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you cannot come through." And then turn and go get a burger. Well, why not? Burger sounds pretty good right about now. You Here's the thing. In this congregation, you guys are mature enough to where you heard that story and you're thinking, oh, yeah, right, an arch. But I won't be one bit surprised if I hear stories of pastors and churches who stood up and preached this and taught it as though it's true. It just instills fear. Yep. And it makes people think Satan's got more power than what he does. Jesus made a show of them openly. I'm not afraid of an arch. That's like these people say, you know, you better not go get one of those therapeutic medical massages from any new age person, because if you do, the moment that they put their hands on you, you're going to transfer spirits all over you. You know what? Honky, that ain't, I mean, that's just no way. No way. You're not, but see this kind of stuff? It all comes from a lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding of Scripture and a lack of understanding of our position in Christ. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me. You go therefore. You go therefore. If I hold that position in Christ as He is, then so am I in this world. And you know what? I can rebuke these devils. But I'm telling you, they don't need an arch. What they do need is the cooperation of people to do what they're doing. Now, everything I shared today, the article that I read and so forth, all of that is available. So you guys be encouraged to know, don't worry about arches. Don't worry about getting massages. Don't worry about, you know, digging too deep in your backyard for fence posts or whatever. Everything's cool, all right? Everything's fine. I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And in the name of Jesus, I am victorious.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Father, I am asking that You help people understand the truth of this matter. And how, Father, yes, that it is foolish for people to build altars unto pagan gods. That is a foolish thing to do. You even said so in Your Word. But the pagan gods and demons, they don't need arches and gateways, because we're in that warfare now. Help us understand that, Father, and to be strong in what we know and understand of who we are in Jesus Christ. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Jesus, I thank You that we have that victory and that authority in Your name here on earth.